The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Best Saxon says, I'm not sure if Trudeau's resignation is actually a good thing for conservatism in Canada. Yeah, people who are just celebrating, oh, Trudeau is resigning. I don't know. You probably don't know about Canadian politics, but if Trudeau is resigning and he's replaced by someone less popular than himself at the Liberal Party, what that means is a continuation of the NDP absorbing the vote of the Liberals, because the Liberal Party is a boomer party. It's a boomer center-leftist party in Canada. It's been dominant because of the fucking boomers that control this country. But it's not because Justin Trudeau goes that it's good for the right. Because in fact, it may mean a solidification of the NDP as being the alternative party to the right. And what that means is a kind of hegemonious control of the far left and the Indian left, basically. Because the NDP is led by an Indian guy. And it represents a whole new generation of far leftism, of corruption. But if it takes over our country, it's going to get even worse than under Trudeau. Frog Eyes says, Trudeau resigning is as significant as Kamala Harris replacing Joe Biden. Big fucking deal. Yeah, and he's resigning probably because he's seeing that he's not the best carrier of the interest of the Liberal Party going forward. But the question is, who will rise in his place? Will that person have as much success? Because the Liberal Party is faced with the challenge of converting their extremely, extremely old voter base to the youth, but the youth is voting NDP. I don't see any victory in the making for the conservatives in Canada. I'm sorry. If you want to avoid the communists in Canada, you have to do like me and flee to at least conservative province. But you're not going to get a conservative federal government. Barnaby Buto says, Trudeau was good for race realism. He turned most of the people I know in absolute racist. For everything else, it's a total failure. Yeah, I mean, there were these surprising things about Trudeau. You know, he is a symbol of the left, of the anti-racist left in Canada. But at the same time, there are things that are so based about Trudeau, it's almost like he's gone full circle. He's done blackface in the past. There are plenty of pictures of Trudeau in blackface, like just literally, my Halloween costume this year is I'm black. which today offends the sensibilities, but okay, that's pretty based from the perspective of today. Of course, back then when he did it, it was probably, to the contrary, not based, but rather, new guy says brown face, come on. Well, no, that is dark, dark, dark brown. He was not an Arab, although he was wearing an Arab costume, he was definitely black-tinted face. That was definitely blackface. That wasn't trying to imitate a North African. And another thing that's super based, I mean, Justin Trudeau has literally started eugenics in Canada. He is the father of eugenics, of state killing of the handicapped. And you have to say, holy shit, man, You know, how can one be so biased and yet not even be right-wing? It's more than I even demanded. I never wanted to just literally have a state program to kill people, but Trudeau made it happen. So, you know, it's a bizarre man. It's a weird man, a very confused man that this Trudeau is. Shring Mamel sends a super chat. He says, when I visited the hospital a second time in the U.S., I had to yell at the physician assistant to give me the anti-parasitic drugs or he was going to send me home with nothing, even though I took my tapeworm. With the American hospitals are becoming incompetent like the ones in the Philippines. I am so annoyed. And yeah, poor Shring Mamel, you know, in his quest to find a woman, he finds a tapeworm. There was a worm living inside Shring Mamel's intestine as a result of his traveling to the Chinese and Asian hemisphere. And the worm was starting to take over the mind of Shring Mamel. Shring Mamel couldn't think independently anymore. He was merely becoming a slave of the tapeworm. The tapeworm was like, controlling Shring Mamel's mind with 5G emissions and that kind of stuff. And poor Shring Mamel, he felt the need to go eat sugar. So this tapeworm was kind of controlling Shring Mamel's brain, so that Shring Mamel was merely just a container of sugar for the tapeworm. So he felt this constant need, I have to stuff myself with sugar to satisfy the hunger of the tapeworm. I mean, it is what parasitism is, and too bad. But now, thankfully, Shring Mamel has made his case to a doctor, and he's got this anti-tapeworm medicine. So it seems that it has resolved the issue now. The tapeworm is dead, and Shring Mamel is back in control. But the U.S. Health system is absolute crap. It's like the good part of health services is we have a couple of medications. They kind of do not bad. And it should be the case that you meet a doctor for about $50 for 10 minutes and the doctor gives you what you want and that's it. But they created such a maze of requests and demands and I don't want to give you this. And it's like at this point, they feel entitled to be paid thousands of dollars a visit and give you nothing and not even help you with your problem. It's a whole scam, the health industry. And I just don't understand. Why do people even pay their health insurance? What the fuck are you guys doing? You guys are throwing $1,000 a month to health insurance? They're not going to save you. So if you just make sure that you don't have a ski accident or whatever, because they're not going to save you. They're going to charge you copay once you arrive at the emergency. It's not going to work. So why do people pay health insurance in the U.S.? That's beyond my understanding. Nothing Thomas says, Jeff, does the NDP have the support of the Chinese Communist Party? If so, they may have a luck. I don't know. I don't know if the Chinese matter at all in Canadian politics, let me tell you. Because when I go to the streets, when I'm on the streets, I see Indians. I see Indian turbans, Sikhs wearing their turbans, driving trucks, carrying stuff, serving people at Tim Hortons, serving people at all these fast foods. I don't know that Chinese politics is important. If anything, Indian politics is probably very important. I can't believe the amount of Indians. Today I went to buy at the hardware store. I went to buy a lot of stuff to make the decor. So we'll soon have a decor if my artistic project can work. I've bought wood that I can cut in exact pixelated squares. We're going to have a full Minecraft pixelated 3D universe back here. I bought 8 different shades of paint so that I can reproduce the Minecraft style voxel art That includes grass, brownish stuff, gray stuff, blue stuff for a waterfall. It's gonna be awesome. But yeah, I saw so many Indians on the path. What are we going to do with all these Indians? Shrink Mama sends a super chat. He says, I had physical evidence that he looked at. It was obvious. I called him a fucking idiot. I was about to walk out of the hospital. These doctors are fucking incompetent. They are pissing me off. I've seen so much bad stuff. In my case, the absolute misdiagnosis in my life, I knew that my heartbeat was irregular. I'm like, this is not normal. I feel a irregularity in my heartbeat. I had to do so much research. I went to the hospital, the emergency, the cardiologist, my family doctor. No one believed me. I'm like, I feel my heartbeat. Pop, 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 and like, pop, pop, pop. That's not normal. That's not normal. So I'm, but I didn't know about the heart that much. You know, I'm a biologist, and yes, I'm a doctor, but I don't know about medical doctor stuff. And so I'm like, can we go through the list of everything that could be happening? Because my heartbeat is having an irregularity. Now they're like, if you had learned like me, if you had your medical degree like me, JF, you would know that no one can feel their heartbeat. It's an hallucination that you have. When your heart starts being in pain, you will feel pain in your elbow, actually, in your shoulder of your left arm, because there is no sensory connection to the heart. I'm like, I know there's no sensory connection to the heart, but I can still feel my heartbeat. Bro, I can just do this and I feel my heartbeat. I can feel the vein, each of the heartbeats. And I'm telling you that once every 30 minutes, my heart skips a beat. So my family doctor was like, oh, well, this is more... Like, did your girlfriend leave you recently? Because it feels like you're more anxious and paranoid right now. Like, no. My heartbeat does tuck, 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 and then tuck. It does. It kind of pauses for 2-3 seconds, and then it gives a big shot. Now, just this description should have told the doctor what JF has is premature ventricular contraction. It's quite simple. It's a pause, 2 seconds, and then the ventricle just kind of contracts 2 times harder than it would normally. Now, premature ventricular contraction. So that happens when the bottom of the heart starts contracting before the upper part has had the time to do its full cycle. Now I know, but for a year I didn't know. And so I tell that to my family doctor. He doesn't believe me. At some point, I'm worried, and I was with Mama JF back then, and my heart, oh my God, starting to do it every 20 minutes now. I miss a beat. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the emergency. Now, the emergency, they record for 10 seconds my heart. They're like, oh, your heart is fine. Like, there's no evidence there that on this EKG that there's something wrong, because I can feel it. It's rare. It happens once every 20 minutes, but it's happening. And they're like, well, sir. And the guy tells me, same thing as my family doctor. He says, well, sir, you're probably very nervous right now. Maybe do you have a problem with your family? Is your girlfriend beating you? I'm like, no. It seems like, how the fuck does my girlfriend come into this? They were trying to frame it as you need to go to psychiatry because you're delusional. I'm like, no. I really feel my heartbeat is irregular. There's something happening. Now, I do the research on forums. I look at all the medications I'm on. And my family doctor had put me back then on some preventive medication that, oh yeah, you're not diabetic, but you could start the medication of the diabetes because eventually you're going to be, because you're not a super healthy guy. So why not start it in advance? And I had said yes. Now I discovered there's a whole forum of people who live exactly the same experience as me. They're on this med, metformin, yes, the bird flu. They're on this med, they have the exact heartbeat skip. And then I read the label of the medication and they say, oh yeah, you can have PVC as a result of this medication. So I'm like, what the fuck? I had to find a forum of people who they were also going to the hospital. They were also told they were crazy. And so I stopped the medication. Poof, my heart was fully repaired. The medication was inducing a lowering of my blood sugar. And my blood sugar was so low that the pacemaker cells of the heart were missing a beat every 20 minutes. And I know this, but of all the doctors who misdiagnose me, there's not a system in the world that I can go in and type, hey, next time you see a guy like me, why don't you change your diagnosis? Because you were wrong with me. You were wrong with me. You were wrong with me. When I go to see them and tell them you were wrong with me, you know what they say? He's crazy. Bro, I stopped the medication. The heart problem fixed itself within 24 hours. And there's all these other people on forums. They had the exact same thing. So you have these medically preventive measures being taken. And people are, oh, well, you know, this is a diabetes drug. It must be good. Let's give it to everyone who's a little fat. Or who's headed toward diabetes. And it's like, bro, you lowered my blood sugar to the point where my heart wasn't working. I don't blame the attempt. I said yes to the metformin. That's fine. What I blame is the stubbornness of doctors not wanting to acknowledge that, hey, I can feel my heartbeat. You're pretty retarded if you can't feel your heartbeat. You can feed it by putting your hands on your temple, your hand on your throat. And they actually made me doubt myself for a while. I was like, holy shit, maybe if in the case I'm delusional, I have to have a objective measure of this. So I actually bought an EKG at home so that I could record myself. And then I saw it on a heartbeat because I held the EKG for 20 minutes until one heartbeat missed, and it was a... The next heartbeat is stronger because it missed the past heartbeat. I was like, I could feel this in my chest. There was something. The bird flu says, thumb, brachial, pedal, lots of pulse you can take. Yeah, and eventually I felt it on the pulse also on top of the EKG. Now I was like, okay, these people are not to be trusted. Doctors at the emergency, they may have decades of experience. They've been taught things that are not true for intelligent people. Because if you're somewhat intelligent, you can self-feel your heart. I can self-feel my heart without even putting my fingers. I can, especially in those times when the big heartbeat was coming in, I was feeling my whole chest, poof! I was like, whoa, it's like I had received a hammer hit on the chest. No, it's possible to feel something happening inside your chest, even if your heart doesn't have specifically the sensory roots and everything. Lucas Gage is back on Twitter. He publishes a first tweet in Hebrew. And in Hebrew, he says, I will never submit to you. Strong statement after 6 months of banning from Twitter. Chief Trumpster reports the vote bruv. The new account that was just started by Cobra Tate and Tate the Talisman, Andrew Tate, has been banned. This is incredible. This shouldn't happen. We don't have a democracy. Someone cannot suddenly decide to start a party. And if someone is silenced because they are suggesting an alternative party, democracy is a fucking joke. And here we have someone who's made a mod of Jurassic Park, the movie, to represent the velociraptors properly. Look at this. Feathered velociraptors. Oh. Wow, wow, wow. Very well integrated. But yeah, I mean, it's serious that it's very possible that the dinosaurs weren't reptilian looking, that they were more bird looking. They are technically closer to birds genetically, I think, than they are of a random lizard. You would have to... You can correct me on this. I'm not fully sure, but I do think that if you were to make genetic distance computation, they are much closer, and we should expect them to look much more like birds than we should expect them to look like snakes or lizards. And yes, we have basically taken lizard and snake skin, and we've superimposed it onto dinosaurs. Why black bear says feathers can be seen in some fossils. Exactly. And so it could be that we were wrong in imaging the dinosaurs in the way we classically do. You can go on Indian Amazon at amazon.in. It's fucking wild. If you just type vibrate, you have vibrators for girl, vibratorian machine for girl vagina. If you type chloroform, you can buy chloroform deep sleep spray, sexy toy for female, sexy night dress for woman, honeymoon. People are now inspecting the popular search terms and concluding about the everyday life of the Indians from it. Yesterday, I went on a rabbit hole. I started watching all these Confessions of Killers videos, and it all started with Brian Cohey. So this is a psychopath guy who he just wanted to know how killing someone felt. And so he killed a homeless person, chopped his head and his hands and kept them in a bag. And his mom discovered the head and hands. And look at the psychopath behavior there, the confidence of the guy. I was discovering a whole domain, although he's not been very intelligent, you know. He's driven back to the crime scene. He tries to dump the body that he had initially killed and removed the head from. He fails at dumping the body. He dumps his own car in the lake. Now he has to call the police, call his father, for the police to help him pull the car out of the lake. And the police, as they pull the car, they find blood, or what seems to be blood, on the bumper. That was the body of the homeless guy that he was trying to dump in the lake. Now, even this car event wasn't what led to his arrest. He was somehow lucky that the police didn't make the link directly between the blood on his bumper and the murder. So what got him caught is that he kept a head and hands in his wardrobe, and his mom eventually discovered them, of course. What is he thinking? And just look at the behavior.
Okay, so parents have some concerns of some stuff they may have found in your room?
Yeah, I believe so.
And what would it be?
A human head and hands.
Like...
A human head and hands.
For real human head and hands?
Yes.
From?
That fellow who went missing recently.
Which fellow was that?
Warren Brown.
Warren Brown? When did he go missing?
The night of the 27th.
The night of the 27th? Okay, and how did you end up with him?
I murdered him.
With what?
A knife.
Why would you have done that?
I've always wondered what murder felt like.
So I started looking through all these videos, discovering these teen murders and those that don't ask for a lawyer and just speak openly to the police and describe their murder. Wow, I wasn't very used to watch these videos. I never gotten interested. It's really an item of curiosity, but it's fascinating. I stole from my mother, my brother, and my family. I thought Bitcoin would make me a millionaire, but it ruined my life. The harrowing stories of those left on the verge of suicide because of their crypto addiction. How can you lose at Bitcoin investment? You have to be fucking stupid. We're talking about a price curve where right now 99.9% of the people who ever bought Bitcoin are in the profit. So of course, if you end up suicidal and owing money to your parents, you've not been buying Bitcoin. You've been betting on meme coins. You've been transferring to smart chains, and you've been losing your money in games and craps. But man, it is so easy to profit off Bitcoin. It's such a shame that anyone would then tarnish the reputation of Bitcoin by saying I lost money in Bitcoin. You cannot have lost money in Bitcoin. You basically cannot. So if you've lost money in Bitcoin, it's because you bought high and sold low without waiting, or you messed up in buying something else than Bitcoin, or you got defrauded. The ex-girlfriend of Matt Livelsberger breaks down in tears during the new interview, says she failed him. Alicia Arid. So we now have a better insight into who was the girlfriend. She said, I failed him. We all failed him. He was really open about the trauma he faced and the teammates he lost. We now know that this was not the original wife from 2016. It was a new wife. This is the wife with whom he had some argument before he left on December the 28th and eventually exploded himself in front of the Trump Tower.
I failed him. We all failed him. He was really open about the trauma he faced and the teammates he lost. He sent some front views and he shared he felt like he was Batman or Halo.
It wasn't until 2 days later when the FBI contacted Arid that she found out what happened in Las Vegas.
They started to show me a video of him in the Cybertruck. My whole heart broke for him. That he was so broken that he got to that place.
Arid is still struggling with why Livelsberger would take his own life.
He didn't say anything explicit that would have triggered it, I guess.
Well, he told you, I'm not going to hurt anyone. For those who are not in the know, when your spouse or partner tells you, I'm not going to hurt anyone, it means I'm going to go commit suicide. But I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to tell it to you explicitly because I don't want you to be in trouble and because I don't want you to start calling the psychiatric hospital. So now they kidnap me and now I can't go suicide. it's pretty obvious, people. Please understand the coded language that people have to use because of legal oppression. Someone tells you, I'm not going to hurt anyone else. Process. Okay, you're not going to hurt anyone else.
On his nearly 20 years of military service, Livelsberger saw multiple combat deployments. The FBI describing the incident in Las Vegas as a tragic case of suicide by a highly decorated service member.
All right, so that closes this deal as far as I'm concerned. Matthew Livelsberger's wife reportedly left him on the 25th or 26th after learning of his infidelity. Here we have some DMs apparently. Oh, okay, it's been wild. So much learning and fun. I rented a Tesla Cybertruck. It's the shit. I'm building drones in my new position. You would love it. Sends picture of the Cybertruck. I feel like Batman or Halo. Aha, smiley emoji. I don't know if it's cool or I should bully you about it. What a bizarre, sentence from a wife or ex, or an ex-wife who just left you. Aha, I don't know if I should bully you about this. Okay, so the this relationship was so abusive that you have the choice between either I'm going to find it cool or I'm going to bully you. How fast is it? Ungodly. It matches my Kobe 2 shoes I had when I was little. Also, here he's making a childish display to present himself as innocent and loving and lovable. It's Kobe's final, most powerful form. Did you really have shoes like that nerd, lol? How's your mom doing? Yeah, Google them. She's still the same, no change, so lame. Ah, I bet you looked so cute in those. Did you keep them? Nah, they were stinky. Oh, man. Oh, man, I'm feeling terrible. Fucking woman. Just dating and speaking to exes. I want to vomit just thinking about it. Thankfully, I'm out of this. I have my superb, wonderful girlfriend now. I don't have to. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I had these Kobe shoes. Tell me I should have been cute in them. Oh, yeah, JF. I guess you were cute in your Kobe shoes, JF. Ah! Man. Frog Eyes says, JF, are you a Halo fan? This reminds me. JF, please Google images. Tony Soprano, Halo Warthog. I will not Google this because it doesn't seem very interesting. I am not a Halo fan. I have never played Halo. I have heard the name of the game, but this is not my style of game. Your game doesn't involve free creativity, shoveling of nature and replanting and sustainability and ecological dynamics. I'm not interested. I don't see this in Halo. I don't think it's there, so I'm not going to play it. Yeah, Justin Trudeau resigns. Not an important news, really, because what's important is who's going to replace him and will it serve the left. I'm afraid that it can, that in the current direction of Canada, everything can only serve the left. I don't see a conservative revolution rising in Canada at the federal level. So, no, forget about this. Justin Trudeau resigning is bad news like anything else in Canada. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, obviously this is not necessarily all good news, but with the resignation of Trudeau on the same day as the redemption of Trump getting certified today, which Harris had to approve in Congress as VP, on January 6th, no less, it seems we need to create a holiday marking the day. Yes, it was very weird to feel this old, to realize looking at my phone and my computer, oh, it's January 6th, and January 6th here is the return of Caesar to Rome. Okay, and after he was kind of canceled by Washington, and it's very symbolic. But other than this, I don't know of anything important. It was just a symbolic advance here for Trump coming back. But it's not the same Trump. So it's, for me, if you understand politics, you understand that this is not even symbolic. It's not even symbolic because it's not the same Trump. He's not coming with a desire of vengeance. He's coming with a desire of service to his new masters. Someone asked a very interesting question. Ruth Sternwood said, why are there no known pathogenic archaea? Contrast with the other kingdoms of life. Plants, animals, fungi, protozoa, chromista. Is this not strange? Yeah, it's strange because you can get infected by a RNA virus, a retrotranscribed virus, can get infected by a bacteria, you can get infected by a fungi, like brain-eating amoeba, that kind of stuff. You can get infected by protozoa, you can get infected by plants, certain animals, you will see plants growing from them. And you can get infected by animals. You can have worms inside of you, just like Tring Mamel. So all kingdoms of life can be infectious and pathogenic to humans. But archaea, I don't know. Maybe there are some that I don't know about. But yeah, this guy, this person claims there are none. And I don't know of any. So he asked, why? Well, that's an interesting question. And I said, I don't know, but maybe. Maybe the archaea have spent an evolutionary time on their own and have not renewed their capacity to parasitize because they kind of gone their own way and developed an independent existence. Whereas perhaps all of the other kingdoms have always lived among themselves from their very inception. Like the way I see RNA viruses, for example, I don't think of RNA viruses coming out of nowhere trying to infect new hosts. I think that RNA viruses were our ancestors. That's why I lay out in the revolutionary phenotype. I'm the only biologist who's ever said this, by the way. I can't believe that biology has not yet included this in their textbook. I have proven that RNA viruses are our ancestors. Anyway. This should definitely be featured in new biology textbook. Anyways, they don't want to. They're cocked. It's going to take 60 years. I'm going to be dead. Okay. But it's like, you have the guy alive. I'm alive. The guy who pounded this idea into existence. Why not do it now? Why wait 60 years? But my view of RNA viruses is that RNA viruses didn't come out of nowhere and try to evolve to infect someone. They always were infectious because initially we were their infection. Initially, the DNA-based life was living within the RNA organism. So because we came to start infecting them, and it's not because we became bigger, we became so big that in fact, many people only consider DNA-based life as life. People have forgotten the RNA viruses as alive. But there used to be a past on this earth where RNA viruses dominated and we lived as parasites inside of them. Now, when we grew and grew and created all these monstrosity of the animal kingdom, plant kingdom, fungi, bacteria, all of this, they were still living among us. They never stopped being infectious, see? Whereas archaea probably stopped being infectious at some point and wasn't dependent anymore on anything else. Another theory that I could lay out is archaea resembles eukaryotes. And so you could have a theory that the more a life form resembles you, the least likely it is capable of competing with you as a parasite because it ultimately occupies the same niche. See, the RNA virus, when it comes inside of you, it doesn't care about making a wreck. And a wreck it will make. It will make a wreck down into your genetic code. It will use its own tRNAs and change the expressions of your own proteins. Because it's so different, because it's so distant evolutionarily. The problem of the archaea is maybe it has no advantage on the eukaryotic cell. So when it finds itself in a eukaryotic host, it cannot do any better than the cells that are around it, and it ends up losing to the immune system. That's another view, although that view seems that it would apply also to protozoa, because the protozoa are eukaryotic. It seems that it could apply to fungi, maybe plants, infectious beings. So it's hard to explain why it would only apply to archaea in this view. Let's talk about the bullshit of Andrew Tate. DK Shadow says they will be showing this video when they teach about the history of the TRP theory, and they'll be showing this comment as well. Welcome to Infinite History, DK Shadow. We don't know. We don't know when we will win, and we will be dead by the time we win. But it's like, yeah, there is a teachable moment here that people are incapable of seeing the truth when it's served to them on a silver platter. And people are incapable of honoring their true original thinker as they are alive. Which is why you have this whole adoration of scientists and philosophers of the past. And we're missing something so much when we do this. We're missing the live interaction with the minds that create original ideas. Which is what I've been trying to kind of get to with the public space and my mediatic creation. I wanted to talk to all the minds, those that are wrong, those that are right. But the world is so hostile. The world is so hostile. They see a scientific theory. They start making up stuff about your private life and why they shouldn't read your book. I'm still arguing today with people on Twitter saying JF ate, killed and ate Mama JF. And I was like, isn't that interesting? Isn't that super interesting? They're like, I don't have evidence that JF killed Mama JF. Well, therefore he must have destroyed the evidence. Therefore JF killed and ate Mama JF. Wow. You have just reinvented the presumption of innocence here. It's like, it's the presumption of culpability. Not only this, but because I don't have evidence about you, it's even worse. You're even worse of a murderer. Unbelievable, people. Toby says, it makes sense, to be honest. The thing is, you can construct any sort of theory if you allow yourself to interpret the absence of evidence as evidence. Like, okay, but why does it stop at Mama JF? There's no evidence that I killed Mr. ABC, who died in this state in 1962. And so why does it stop at Mama JF? The reality, if you were to follow your logic to the end, you would say JF killed Mama JF. JF must have eaten Mama JF because we didn't find her. JF must have killed every single person whose murder has never been solved. He must have eaten all of them. You see? David Smith says, JF dissolved the purple ponies in acid. That is the final conclusion. JF has killed all of the purple ponies because there are no purple ponies around. An evolutionary event of massive magnitude. The killing of all the purple ponies. DK Shadow says, you know, JF, you were away when Epstein committed suicide. Oh yeah, that's another theory out there that I killed Jeff Epstein. It's true that my vacation was totally aligning with his death. But I wasn't in the US at that moment. So what's this bullshit? The problem with these people like Andrew Tate going into politics is normie politics is very hostile to internet personalities. And eventually, these internet personalities are too much of a loose cannon to get to doing it for real. So you have the Sargon of Akkad trying to engage, getting smeared in the media, kind of fizzles out. There's not enough interest. You may think you have a lot of power when you have an internet exposure, but the internet is a massive multiplier. But when you boil it down to local support, because Andrew Tate, okay, he has big international following. But remove all of this, it doesn't matter. How many votes can you get in this location in the UK? That's what normie politics is about. And internet personalities systematically lose at it. They don't even get to the signature stage. Look at Kanye 2024. I mean, we're in 2025 now, and there hasn't been a Kanye 2024. What's that toilet paper on your hand, Jeff? There's no toilet paper. Sometimes I do scratch my skin because I have some light eczema. So sometimes you'll see me scratch my skin because I have scaling, very light scaling of my skin. But no, I have no toilet paper in hand. I don't know why you ask. Rodilacid says, but JF, I think before humanity faces TRP, men will have to overcome the sex bot dilemma. Soon they will make AI so good they will be more fun to be around than humans. And cyborg bodies and the shape that attracts you. So woman will eventually become more troubled than buying a Tesla sex bot. Yes. But this is the thinking I've done when I was writing The Revolutionary Phenotype. Now, you may not find it explicitly stated like this in TRP. But what I was thinking is, what are the truly grave evolutionary events? Because this evolutionary event is not grave. it's self-adjusting. Anyone who falls for the Tesla sex bot ends up with no babies, and they are replaced with anyone who has desires such that somehow they enjoy the actual female. There's no end to evolution, you know? It's up to the point where we have transformed chickens and pigs to be domesticated. I mean, look at a little cutie pink piggy. All cute, all innocent, not dangerous. We did this. So it's not a problem to change humans so that they slightly like actual human females a little more. Or they slightly are willing to endure a little more female abuse more. If we can transform the wild pig into the domesticated pig or the cows or the chicken, if we can transform the wild equivalents of all these animals into their domesticated slavery counterpart, certainly we can change human preferences across a few generations. Lendald Guntram says, there you go. I am reading JF's mind a second quicker than he can say his sentences. Well, across all those years, you know, we start knowing each other very well. That's what's amazing with having a small crowd that has been here for so many years. You guys must be starting to know me. The Brav Party. This is a war to reclaim Britain. No excuses, no compromise, no second chances. Britain restoring the underlying values. Britain restoring underlying values party, Brav. With a Czech symbol because Andrew Tate wants to remind people, I guess, of the chess talent of his father. Let's have a look at this document, A Call to Restore Britain. So that is Andrew Tate proposing to be the Prime Minister of the UK. January 6th, a time-limited mission of accountability. Here he says, I'm just going to be realizing my political projects, and if I fail at any of my promises, I'm immediately resigning. I don't want to be a politician. I just want to fix the UK. Look around you. Look at what we've become, a nation that once ruled the waves, that stood as the beacon of strength and freedom, now cowers under its own shadow. Our streets are dangerous, our borders are wide open, and our culture, it's being eroded. This isn't the Britain of our ancestors fought for. This isn't the Britain they died for. And this cannot be the Britain we leave to our children. They deserve what brave men died for. They deserve what you've struggled for. We must end the generational failure. There's some AI writing in there, and there's definitely some AI image generation. AI-generated images. Arch migration control. So he says, no more boat landing on British soil. If you come here with a boat, we will defend ourselves. We won't let you in. You have to endure the roughness of the sea. You shouldn't be in the sea in the first place. And we're not going to save you. Prime Minister Tate. Knife crime epidemic. We have another AI-generated image. Last year, there was 50,000 knife crime offenses in England and Wales. That's 137 every single day. Mother's burying son. Imagine a 15-year-old boy tempted to pick up a blade, turning on the TV and seeing a man grow old and die alone. That's not cruelty. It's deterrence. Introducing the BBC punishment. A 24/7 live broadcast of knife crime offenders serving solitary confinement. No redemption arcs, no second chances. Just the cold, hard reality of a life wasted in a concrete cell. I don't think that the people who are likely to commit knife crimes will be watching themselves, the channel featuring the knife crime punished people. So I don't know that it's that strong. Now it's a cultural message, I guess. You change the culture because you make so that there is a culture building around punishment and around, have you seen how pathetic the guy looked? Okay, very symbolic. Reforming the BBC, a rotten institution. The BBC will be stripped down and rebuilt. Its mission will be factual reporting, not propaganda. Yeah, but if you leave any sort of government executive in there, for them, they are reporting facts. And the problem is you don't have the power to undermine the bureaucracy of the UK. You would have to abolish all of it and not try to resurrect it. The minute you resurrect it, you resurrect the problem, which is government bureaucrat caring at all about journalism. Protecting our children and restoring traditional values. Did you know that children as young as 6 are being exposed to graphic LGBTQ plus material? Indoctrination. Restoring British culture and identity. Cap the non-British residents at 10% of the population to maintain cultural balance. But then, non-British residents. What happens if they get citizenship? What happens if they move within Britain freely? I don't think you will restore British genetics and demographics against a already fully flooded UK. UK is lost. Puzim says, how is the chat, JF, feeling about Bukele? Well, Bukele, he seems to be taking El Salvador in the right direction in terms of criminal enforcement and in terms of Bitcoin investment. It's possible that Salvador in 50 years from now will be like this radically powerful and gigantic society among a society of poor socialist South American nations. That's what it looks like. I don't know how else it can end. It is doing so much better than the countries around. Building the future Britain deserves. Arm young Britons with the skills to launch business, pioneer technologies, and dominate the global stage. Well, if you do this with the state, you are skewing the market and investing in fake money into a system. Investing where it matters. Foreign aid will be cut. No more foreign aid. No more foreign wars. Prioritizing the NHS. Healthcare for Britons first. Accountability in government. 30% of MPs fail to meet basic attendance standards. You don't show up, you're out. Zero tolerance on crime. If you're a non-citizen and you commit a crime here, you're gone. Instant deportation. You're gonna deport a murderer? I mean, that is a big problem. You're gonna deport a murderer? He's gonna come back because he's not going to be punished in his own country for a murder he committed in the West. That is a childish demand that's unrealistic. A transparent and fair tax system, a new simplified tax code that can be understood in under 20 minutes, restoring masculinity and strength, a stronger future for Britain, laying the foundations for independence and prosperity with the National Bitcoin Reserve, a stronger future for Britain, laying the foundation, revamping the voting system, creating a ministry of the future. It's not the job of the government to prepare for the future. It's a lot of statism, the Brave Party. Let's rise again, join the party. These are not just policies, they are declarations of freedom. A future where Britain stands strong, independent, and unshakable, no longer at the mercy of external forces. So I think that what we're seeing here is a form of Muslim populism. And when you think about it, it's the inevitable direction of UK politics. It's a bunch of brute 90 IQ Muslims who will be elected by enough of themselves. And so we're going to end with this brute approach to politics where, oh yeah, well, we're gonna restore order with this kind of authoritarian Muslim attitude. Because we just have enough Muslims in our nations that it's going to be the only political option. The problem with this is when 90 IQ Muslims take power, they don't understand the flaws of the old regime. They don't understand how did Britain become so corrupt? How did all of the institution become so dysfunctional? And it's because there is no mechanism for improvement. An authority is not, central authority of the state is not a mechanism for improvement. The only valid mechanism for improvement that is stable across time, that can increase the fidelity of institutions to the needs of the people, is capitalism. And when you have a department of the future in your government, you are not engaged in capitalism. You are engaged in state skewing of the economy. You are engaged in its centralization. And everyone becomes a servant of the state. This is the problem with this Muslim authoritarianism, which, by the way, is applied across the world in Muslim nations. Just a strong man making decisions for everyone. And to an extent, it works. It works to keep this dumb population reproducing and kind of functional. But it doesn't work to create great nations. So our nation's future, you know, although I read this text and it's AI generated, and I agree with maybe 60-70% of the stuff there. Sure, combat the LGBT propaganda. Sure, refocus on the family. But most importantly, you have to disarm the state. If you rearm the state with your own Muslim preferences, it's going to last 4 years. It's going to last 8 years. but eventually it will be subject to the very same corruption that got us in the current situation. So I don't even wish a defeat of Andrew Tate. I would like, if I prefer Andrew Tate than a Boris Johnson. I prefer Andrew Tate than a Keir Starmer. But I don't know that we're getting there, because repeatedly these kind of scammy internet personalities have shown that they are incapable of passing the threshold of developing true local support. They don't follow up on their project. Kanye failed. Other projects have failed before. And even if he was to win, what we would have is dumb Muslim authoritarianism taking over a society. And sure, that would be a little more conservative, I guess, than the current state of affairs. But it's not a fix long term. Long term, if the state isn't removed, if the state's power aren't removed and stripped of it, it will go back to corruption. It will just be other forms of corruption, ethnic corruptions of all kinds. You're going to start having gangs of Muslims controlling certain departments, gangs of Indians controlling other departments and hiring themselves. And it's going to be just race war. Race war mixed with a corrupt state. Not looking good. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Thank you for being with me. I'll be tomorrow. I'll try to work a little bit on starting to set up the decor. I don't think we're going to have a fully prepared decor before maybe 2 weeks or a month, because it's big artistic work that I want to do. I want to do a full Minecraft universe in real wooden blocks with stain and different paints and pixelated. It's going to be a beautiful work of art, but I might need 2 weeks. Or even up to a month before I can actually display it behind me. I think it's going to be great with the lightings, the shadows, and it's going to be a great background. Much love, sleep well, and I'll see you all tomorrow.